rendering him momentarily speechless. The letters flowed from the quill pen to the white parchment. This day, as above, afterwatch, rising 28. Chrysania of Tyrrhenius arrived for her appointment with Raistlin Majeure. Raistlin Majeure? Bertram gasped, shock and horror prying his tongue loose. Are we to admit him? Astinus looked up now, annoyance and irritation creasing his brow. As his pen ceased its eternal scratching on the parchment, a deep, unnatural silence settled upon the room. Bertram paled. The historian's face might have been reckoned handsome in a timeless, ageless fashion. But none who saw his face ever remembered it. They simply remembered the eyes, dark, intent, aware, constantly moving, seeing everything. Those eyes could also communicate vast worlds of impatience, reminding Bertram that time was passing. Even as the two spoke, whole minutes of history were ticking by, unrecorded. Forgive me, master. Bertram bowed in profound reverence, then backed precipitately out of the study, closing the door quietly on his way. Once outside, he mopped his shaven head that was glistening with perspiration, then hurried down the silent marble corridors of the great library of Palanthus. Astinus paused in the doorway to his private residence, his gaze on the woman who sat within. Located in the western wing of the great library, the residence of the historian was small and, like all other rooms in the library, was filled with books of every type and binding, lining the shelves on the walls and giving the central living area a faintly musty odor, like a mausoleum that had been sealed for centuries. The furniture was sparse, pristine. The chairs, wooden and handsomely carved, were hard and uncomfortable to sit upon. A low table, standing by a window, was absolutely free of any ornament or object, reflecting the light from the setting sun upon its smooth black surface. Everything in the room was in the most perfect order, even the wood for the evening fire. The late spring nights were cool, even this far north, were stacked in such orderly rows it resembled a funeral pyre. And yet, cool and pristine and pure as was this private chamber of the historian, the room itself seemed only to mirror the cold, pristine, pure beauty of the woman who sat, her hands folded in her lap, waiting. Chrysania of Tyrrhenius waited patiently. She did not fidget or sigh or glance often at the water-run timing device in the corner. She did not read, though Astinus was certain Bertram would have her offered a book. She did not pace the room or examine the few rare ornaments that stood in shadowed nooks within the bookcases. She sat in the straight, uncomfortable wooden chair, her clear, bright eyes fixed upon the red-stained fringes of the clouds above the mountains, as if she were watching the sunset for possibly the first or last time upon Kryn. So intent was she upon the sight beyond the window that Astinus entered without attracting her attention. He regarded her with intense interest. This was not unusual for the historian, who scrutinized all beings living upon Kryn with the same fathomless, penetrating gaze. What was unusual was that, for a moment, a look of pity and of profound sorrow passed across the historian's face. Astinus recorded history. He had recorded it since the beginning of time, watching it pass before his eyes and setting it down in his books. He could not foretell the future. That was the province of the gods. But he could sense all the signs of change, those same signs that had so disturbed Bertram. Standing there, he could hear the drops of water falling in the timing device. By placing his hand beneath them, he could cease the flow of the drops, but time would go on. Sighing, Astinus turned his attention to the woman, whom he had heard of but never met. Her hair was black, blue-black, black as the water of a calm sea at night. She wore it combed straight back from a central part, fastened at the back of her head with a plain, unadorned wooden comb. The severe style was not becoming to her pale, delicate features, emphasizing their pallor. There was no color at all in her face. Her eyes were gray and seemingly much too large. Even her lips were bloodless. Some years ago, when she had been young, servants had braided and coiled that thick black hair into the latest fashionable styles, tucking in pins of silver and of gold, decorating the somber hues with sparkling jewels.